Hi everyone, welcome back to episode 2 on the Monarchy of Pollinators. This is Chris Hausman reporting for her BAT master's class from Ohio University, Miami. And we are here today with Heather Haas, who is a local gardener, has a huge hobby and interest in gardening in her backyard. So we want to talk to her about her ideas with pollinators today. So hi Heather, how are you?
I'm good, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing well today. So let me get some of your thoughts about the importance of pollinators to your garden in the backyard.
Well, I have always been what I call an experimental gardener. I have never had any formal training. I just have watched my mom, and I like to plant things and see what happens. And one of the things that I've enjoyed learning over the years is watching the pollinators and noticing how well my garden does as I have bumblebees or ladybugs I've noticed, you know, that have come and gone, and the good bugs and the bad bugs in my garden. And so I've just really come to appreciate the pollinators in my vegetable garden, but also more recently in my flower garden, because I've begun dabbling in that too.
Oh, good. So can you tell me what specific ones you've been noticing around your house?
Well, I've just mentioned around my house, definitely a lot more butterflies and bumblebees since I've increased the number of flowers. I used to have just minimal flowers near the house, and I've gotten some established, some perennials established, and I've really enjoyed seeing the bumblebees, the different kinds of butterflies, usually just the smaller moth-like butterflies. I don't know the names, but an occasional monarch, ladybugs both in the garden and down up here near the house are ones I've noticed a lot too.
So you mentioned ladybugs in the garden. Do you see any other pollinators down in your garden?
Occasionally the butterflies kind of make it down into there. And the bumblebees occasionally too, depending on what's flowering. I have a tendency to kind of let like the asparagus grow and flower, and in different plants that I don't cut back right away. And that's usually when I see more of the bees and the butterflies too.
Okay. So what about ecosystems overall, especially here in Buffalo, Wyoming? Why do you feel that pollinators are important?
Well, I think that just the whole movement of modifying seeds and you know, producing seeds and plants that are hardy and will grow anywhere, I think we've kind of lost sight of the natural evolution and the natural cycles of plants. And I really am excited to see more and more seed grower unions, groups that are using heirloom seeds and producing those more natural plants like we used to have. So I think the pollinators are important for those kind of plants. And I think the more we can get back to some of our natural, more original plants and flowers, the better our ecosystem will be overall.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that one. So what do you think in our area specifically might, like, our pollinators might be having problems with different issues?
Well, definitely insecticides and fertilizers, especially for lawns. We live in a pretty nice neighborhood here, and I think our lawn might be one of the few that has dandelions because we don't spray. And yeah, sometimes the dandelions get a little bit out of control. But then again, we aren't putting the chemicals on our garden, which end up running off, I mean, on our lawn, excuse me, and then running off into our garden. We've tried to use compost from the local landfill before, but it was just full of pesticides and insecticides and different kind of chemicals. So I really think that those things do have an effect, even though they can make life easier, like the mosquito spray that they spray here in town 4 or 5 times a summer to kill the mosquitoes. I worry what else that is killing also, or what that's doing to our overall plant and bug life here.
Okay, we're going to move on to what types of methods do you use around your house and in your garden to ensure that pollinators are visiting your property?
Well, the increase of my flower garden, like I said, I've always just had a few flowers around the house and used to joke that I was a terrible flower gardener, but I've really tried to make an effort lately with the help of a couple of friends and my mom giving me certain plants and really trying to get ones that will attract the pollinators and will grow and spread every year. I like kind of a wilder garden, not so manicured. So I think me just being more conscious about having plants and flowers that attract these pollinators is a good thing. I also have just recently started to put more flowers down in the vegetable garden too, and kind of mixing the two. I've always just had vegetables there and flowers up top, but I think there's an easy mix, and I think that'll help that too.
So if you had friends or family that wanted to help assist with our current pollinator issues, what are some easy things do you think they could do to help out?
Well, I think considering, not using as many chemicals and stuff on your yard and thinking about more natural ways to control weeds, or even just making it part of your routine to, dig up some dandelions occasionally if you don't want them in your yard, instead of just automatically spraying them with a chemical. That's something that comes up in conversation occasionally, and so I think that's the biggest thing I can do. However, I can't change everyone's mind. I know there are some neighbors who will not go for that, but I think there's ways we can learn to take care of that.
So do you know any of the specific flowers that you plan on using down in your garden to try to help with those pollinators?
I just moved a bunch of irises last fall down into there, and I'm super excited to see how they're coming up. I just checked the other day and they're starting to come up, but I'm hoping that they will thrive down there. I have in the past and plan to again kind of do some outlining of the garden with marigolds. I think that they can, I've heard that not only are they good for pollinators, but they keep the bad bugs out. So just trying to again kind of put the two vegetable flowering together, I think it'll help overall.
Awesome. Well, Heather, thanks so much for your time today. It was great talking to you.
Yeah, thanks for coming over. This has got me thinking more and more about it, so that's good.
And those of you listening to our podcast today, make sure that you follow us on Instagram, where our handle is The Monarchy of Pollinators, and follow our website too. Have a great rest of the day. Hi there, and welcome to episode 3 of The Monarchy of Pollinators. This is Chris Hausman, and today I'm interviewing Bev Bowden, our local ag teacher and specialist in all things agriculture. She is a teacher at the high school and middle school here, as well as the FFA advisor. And so today we're going to talk to her about her viewpoints and knowledge on the importance of pollinators. Hi, Bev. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you, Chris?
I'm great. Good. So can you tell me some of your thoughts about the importance of pollinators for agriculture?
Yes, I'd be happy to. It actually comes up in our classroom quite a bit when we're talking about students wanting to choose topics to do a speech on. We've had several presentations of the importance of bees in agriculture, but on the flip side, they also learn how agriculture is hurting pollinators and not helping them very, So there's a good balance. So it kind of portrays both good and bad of agriculture. So it's good for them to learn about those things.
So what kind of things do the kids learn about, the good and the bad?
Well, right now, especially like kind of with COVID, it kind of brought a lot of backyard, what can I do in my own yard to be sustainable? And so there's a lot of backyard beekeeping that's kind of popped up in the last few years. And so talking about that. Even our local extension office with 4-H started a little beekeeping group, and they bought some bees and a couple hives, and so kids get to learn hands-on how to do that and how to take care of them. But Wyoming winters are pretty harsh, and it's kind of hard to keep bees alive in the winter. So a lot of the bigger bee productions, when you drive around and see them, all the hives out in the field, they've learned that those bees get loaded up on semis and are taken somewhere else, usually California, for the winter. So they kind of see that cycle of how it works too. So it's kind of interesting to see, because then the kids, you see them a lot in alfalfa fields around here, because they use that for pollinating a lot. And in return, the ranchers get some honey. In the end, just they have to just provide a spot to keep some hives. But it's interesting for the kids to learn about how those bees help, and then what the ranchers are doing to try to decrease the loss of some of those pollinators, because there's many things that can be killing them too. Mm-hmm. That agriculture does too.
So let's go down to what you just mentioned. Like, what are some of the issues that they're noticing are affecting the bees,
some of the pollinators,
or any of the pollinators? Yeah.
So some of the issues are that agriculture is intensive farming practices are reducing some of those, and so they're really working on trying to be bee friendly, I guess, is kind of what you're seeing a lot out there with farmers, and being bee friendly, and especially with pesticides and chemicals that they're applying that are killing the bees. And so they're really trying to be, I think you're seeing a trend of agricultural based products that are bee friendly, but it's the chemicals, the pesticides that they're putting on there to keep the pests off, but are now killing the bees. And so there's a, from what I can determine, I don't raise bees, and I don't have a field where I keep bees, but from what we've kind of found out in the classroom and what I've kind of gained knowledge on, is that they're trying to switch to so that they don't kill the bees, because agriculture is a huge, they use the pollinators. I think more than 150 food crops in the United States depend on pollinators, and that I think I looked up a statistic, and USDA estimated that crop distribution on crops dependent on pollinators are worth more than $10 billion per year. And so
that's a lot
of money. And so that's a lot of crops too. Worldwide, over half the diet of fats and oils comes from crops that are pollinated by pollinators. Mm-hmm. And so it's a balance that we don't want to kill the bees, but I think agriculture is one of those things that is killing the bees too. So I think they're really trying to find a good balance on it. So it's good for the kids to learn both sides of the issue, mm-hmm. when it's portrayed, because it's not just we're doing everything to fix it, but we're also doing some things to harm it. So it's mm-hmm. good for them to learn that.
Yeah, I agree. So aside from bees, are there other major pollinators that agriculture relies on?
I think bees is obviously the biggest, but there's also, like in our area, we see butterflies and moths and hummingbirds. And so even like around here, we're starting to see, even where we are at, smaller ranchettes, which is smaller acreage, but maybe doing a cow on there and a couple sheep and having some barn, even like barnyard chickens that we can have. So we're seeing all these little kind of places that are trying to be sustainable with gardens. And so they're doing some agricultural based stuff too. And if they bring in manure from a different farm, you know, just to be careful on what pesticides have been used in that area. You don't want to bring that into yours, that then you're putting that on your flower beds, and then that could be affecting the pollinators that you're bringing in. But it's kind of neat to see the different, like, I know that there's just normal plants, like obviously we know that they like flowers and stuff like that, but there's a lot of things that you can do. Like, I live right out my front door is an alfalfa field, but hummingbirds are pretty, not a lot of people think that we have hummingbirds, but you even can get hummingbirds up in the mountains and the cabins. And so you can plant bushes and trees and that will bring them in towards you. So it's kind of neat to see that too, like the types of, I think even our extension office has done some local, these are the type of plants you can plant to encourage pollinators to come. So
Yeah, we definitely have some hummingbirds here in town that come to.
We do, yeah. And I didn't, even now, I live kind of more towards the creek, not towards the mountain. And so it's I actually can't see the mountains. And so it's kind of neat to see those hummingbirds come in an area where I didn't think that they were there. But by hanging up feeders and planting more bushes that encourage them to come, it's kind of neat to see.
I agree. So you've covered quite a few of these topics I wanted to discuss with you today. Do you know of any specific flowers or plants that people can plant around their own homes to encourage pollinators to visit?
Yeah, there's the butterfly bush. I think that's kind of like the normal one that people think of, and you can go buy like at Home Depot or any garden store. But a star flower, daisies are one that's pretty common too. I looked up one because I'm not sure I'm saying it correctly for the hummingbirds, but is it agastish? Something like that. It's a specific bush that you can get for hummingbirds. And so daffodils, there's a lot, but just bright, like the reds and the pinks seem to do really good for hummingbirds and butterflies. And so the bees are even my lilac bushes will be covered. When I know that when there's a bee, one year we actually had a hive that had, I don't know if it was a wild honeybee, but I actually called one of the honeybee guys here in town, and he came and collected it, found the queen, and then transferred it back to a box. And so they had either left their box or something. Mm-hmm. And so it was kind of neat to see that too. There's a word for it, I can't remember what it is. Where they abandon their hive and go somewhere else.
So I don't really have any other questions for you. Do you have anything else agriculture-wise that you want to talk to our listeners about? As far as pollinators and agriculture?
Well, I think that pollinators are huge with, they produce oxygen. The plants produce oxygen, and those plants use the CO2 to produce that. And I think that that is, with the more plants we have and the more things that can be pollinated by those animals, that I think that's better for all around. And so the big thing that pollinators help with is maintain genetic diversity within a population. And I think that that's important moving forward with that genetic diversity that we have in our ecosystem. And so I think they offer a huge balance. And I think you're finding now, like, there's a lot of pesticides and things that we didn't know that were hurting the pollinators. And I think that's important for even in, like, people that have flower gardens or vegetable garden to be aware of when they put pesticides and chemicals on there. You know, if they use that, then to just to be aware of that, that they could be also, it's not just broad-based big agriculture, but backyard agriculture too.
Yeah, and so many things that we're finding out now that we've been doing for a long time that are actually being pretty harmful to the ecosystems and those pollinators. Well, thanks, Bev, for talking with us today.
Thanks,
I appreciate
it.
Thank you, listeners out there, for popping into our podcast, The Monarchy of Pollinators, through Miami University in Ohio and the Biology in the Age of Technology class. If you'd like to follow us on our Instagram, you can go to #TheMonarchyOfPollinators and follow us there. Thanks.